Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit mightily upon us. Open my lips, O Lord, that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears, that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts, that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. In the Red Pew Bibles, this is page 1070. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Just to set the context a little bit, Jesus has been doing tremendous things. He's been gaining quite a reputation for himself, quite a bit of fame, primarily by the miracles, the signs and the wonders that he had been doing. And so now he's going to send out his apostles and his followers, his disciples, to do the very same things that he had been doing. And so we want to ask ourselves, what is it that he told the apostles, the disciples, to do when they went out? So let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 7. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. And so we see this charge that Jesus gave to the 12. He sent them out two by two in pairs, which is always interesting, to send people out in ministry two by two, so they're working together. He sends them out, we're told, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now the question is, how consistent are the scriptures in this charge that Jesus had given to his church through the apostles and the disciples? And so I went back to look at Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. As Matthew records it, Jesus told them to proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. That was the charge that he gave them according to Matthew. Over in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, we read that he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. We're told they departed, they went throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And then we're told later on in Luke chapter 10, at verse 9, that he then sent out not just the 12, but the 72. Sent them out two by two. And what did he tell them to do? Heal the sick, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so when they went out, they preached, they healed, and they cast out evil spirits. Well, what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven? He left the church. What did they do? We're told in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Verse 16, the people gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. We see a specific example of this, which is important, I believe, because it's always good to use the very words that Scripture uses. If we're told to heal and there's examples of how the scriptures, how the apostles and the early church did it, we want to use those same words. We want to follow that example that's prescribed for us in Holy Scripture. And so here we see in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, "Now Peter went from here and there among them all. He came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed.' And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord." One interesting note to see there is that this power that was given was for the purpose of causing people to turn to the Lord, certainly to raise the visibility, the publicity, so to speak, that called people to, because they saw the power of God being manifested, and they're wondering, where is this? Remember, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, we know that you're from God, because nobody could do the things you're doing unless God was with him." And so we see that in the church, not only during Jesus' time, but when Jesus is, in fact, raised from the dead. And so I have, as priest and pastor, turned to the Scriptures and basically said, "Lord, what is my charge? What are my orders?" I spent 24 years in the Coast Guard. No, it's okay, Captain, what are my orders? What am I supposed to be doing? And based on the Scriptures, Jesus told me, how often he tells, he says, it's in the Word, by the way. Go back to the Word. You don't have to get anything new. Okay, it's there. It's there. Go back and look at it. So what did he tell us to do? To proclaim the gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of God is upon us, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. A three-part ministry. Proclaim, heal, cast out demons. That's what Jesus told them to do, and that's what the early church did, as we see recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. So we ask ourselves, what should we be doing? As your pastor, your priest, called upon, I'm called to serve you all. In what respect? To proclaim the gospel, to heal, and to cast out demons. So that's what I do. I proclaim the word. Where's the power? It comes from God. It's not me. But it comes from God. And I believe, actually, all Christians are called to do this. All Christians. And so we see this promise of God, and we saw it even in our psalm today, Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." That's a promise of God, to heal of all your diseases. What happened in the early church? Many signs and wonders were regularly done at the hands of the apostles and the disciples. What a wonderful promise God gives us for healing. And yet, we see, as Paul described here, not everyone was always healed. In fact, even the great apostle Paul so much dedicated himself to the work of ministry and proclaiming that truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happened? Paul was given this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, to harass him. Why was this given? To keep me from becoming conceited. What was the sin of Satan in the Garden of Eden? It was one of pride. Satan was one of the most beautiful, powerful angels, but that wasn't enough. He wanted to be God. And so he rebelled. And to this day, that is our tendency. We want to be God in terms of making our own rules, determining what we think is best. And that's the great question, but is our allegiance to us or to the world, or is our allegiance to God, to Jesus Christ? So Paul was given this thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming conceited. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' My grace is sufficient for you. Therefore I boast more gladly of the weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So we need to reconcile these two, this great promise of God to heal, and yet the experience of even people like Paul, as demonstrated in the Scriptures, that they did not always receive the healing If you read the lives of many of the saints, Francis of Assisi, the last few years of his life, suffered tremendously in terms of physical hardship. And so what is that connection? What is the promise versus the experience? And how do we reconcile those two? My theory is that we need to understand that when God talks about healing, another word that part of that is strengthening, that God's not just talking about physical healing. He's in fact talking about the whole person. The whole person. And so again, being a numbers kind of person that I am, I like to think on things in terms of grade of zero, 1 to 10. And I think in terms of healing in three categories. The first would be spiritual healing. And I would ask myself, how am I healthy spiritually in terms of my relationship with God? In terms of my sense of the presence of God and the peace of God in me? And I say maybe a 3, sometimes maybe a 5, maybe some of us feel 7. It's pretty good. What is my spiritual health at this particular point in my life? Now I would ask, well, what is my emotional health? Emotional health in terms of relationships with other people, in terms of worrying, in terms of the fears that I have, which are mostly, by the way, fears and worries about tomorrow. And what was the command of Jesus? It was don't worry about tomorrow. It wasn't just a suggestion. It was a command. Don't worry about tomorrow. Particularly as Paul talked about, God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. One of the meditations I was reading this week, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, great meditation. And she talked about this, my grace is sufficient for you. And what Jesus revealed to her was, he said, my grace is sufficient for you today. Today. Not for tomorrow, because I told you, don't worry about tomorrow. If you're looking for grace to help you deal with tomorrow, you're not going to get it. In so many words. Today, we live for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Learning to live for today. That God's grace is sufficient for us. And so that was Paul was talking. My grace is sufficient for you in terms of what it is today. Because it's my in that weakness, it's made perfect in Jesus' power. So we have spiritual healing. We have emotional healing. Where am I emotionally? In terms of worrying, in terms of fear, particularly about my loved ones. How often does that bring us down and steal our joy when we're so worried about those around us and what's happening to them that we tend to forget what's happening to me? Where is my spiritual health? Where is my spiritual relationship with God? And these are connected. These are connected. I've shared this before. Experience we had was related to a pastor actually we had years ago when I was in the Coast Guard. And this pastor of a church had a 2-year-old that had a disease with blindness. And it was a year of going through tests and so forth and operations. And finally, after a year, the child's sight was returned and restored. And years later, this pastor shared that never had he been felt, did he feel so close to God than during that year when their child was going through that tremendous time of testing. And then he said, and ever since then, I've been trying to get back to that point of the presence and the power of God in my life, and I've not been able to. Isn't that powerful? What a testimony that is. What an experience we have had ourselves, right? When we had the challenges of relationships or worry or whatever. Where do we turn? If we know Jesus, we go to Jesus. We go to Jesus. So how are we emotionally? And then finally, yes, how are we physically? As we get older, more and more, the weaknesses kind of set in, don't they? Debbie and I were just on vacation this week. We went up to a place in Virginia called Massanutten. It's kind of a big vacation resort. They've got 2 golf courses there. I'm not a real golfer, but I played 8 rounds of golf in 5 days. 8 rounds, and one of them is a mountain course, a lot of up and down. 8 rounds of golf in 5 days. I tell you, I was sore. And what comes to my mind is we're not as young as we used to be, right? Years ago, that would have meant nothing. I mean, you hit this little ball with its stick, and then you walk after it. Sometimes it goes in the woods, and then you walk around in the woods for, 10 minutes. Years ago, that would have meant nothing. And all of a sudden, I'm really stiff. This old body, right? This old body. And yet it tells us that things are happening in our bodies. As I said, the more we get together, the more things we share about, the latest doctor's diagnosis, the latest test that we had, or the latest aches and pains that we have. And so it's become a big part of it. So much the focus, I think, of healing is on the physical. Yet I would say, what are we in terms of the spiritual, the emotional, and then the physical? Now, my theory about this, when we talk about healing, what happened in the scriptures, when the healings happened, it drew people to come to the Lord. And for non-believers, that's a pretty good attention getter. But what about us who have already received Jesus as Lord and Savior? What does it mean for us and people like Paul? I think it's in this respect that God looks at our whole being, spirit, emotions, and body, and says, I want you to come closer to me. I want you to be more like Jesus. I want you to have some more humility in your life. I want to keep you from being prideful. I want to keep you from turning to the ways of the world. He wants us to be spiritually strong, spiritually healthy. And so what will he do? He will use, I believe, those emotional things within us to strengthen us. That was Paul was saying. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. What's he saying? When I am weak emotionally and physically, then I am strong, what? Spiritually. So we ask ourselves, not just physical healing, but we talk about healing and God heals. Where am I spiritually? Where am I emotionally in relationships? And where am I physically? When I pray for people up here at the altar rail, I do this again because Jesus said, heal the people, heal them, cast out spirits. So I was convicted by that more than a year ago. I shared that with most of you. And so when I pray, I'm praying the words that are being pronounced. You're receiving communion. Yes, there's grace that's being received. There's strength that's being received. But there's also with the spoken word. Jesus Christ heals you and I believe also protects you. And to pronounce those words, to hear that pronounced being spoken to us as we receive the sacrament, there's power there. And some people come and they say, well, I don't need that. You know, you touch your forehead or you say, well, I don't need that because I'm feeling pretty good physically. You know, I don't have any ailments right now. And I'm like, yeah, but what about spiritually? What about emotionally? Don't you need some strengthening in your life? Well, of course, we all do. We all do. And so that's my thought, is that there's this thing that God looks at the whole person and says, I want to bring you closer to me. I want to make you more like Jesus. And I'm going to use these other things, emotionally, relationally, and yes, physically, to lead you to trust more on me. To trust more on me. Now, this is part of a prophecy that I came upon when I was praying about this and meditating. I believe the Lord led me to this. I don't know if we're in the end times, but I believe we very possibly are. There's amazing things happening in the world today. Things could change in a split second, in a day. This is a prophecy that's given from the prophet Zechariah, which is a wonderful book of end time prophecies. It talks about that day when the Lord will give salvation. That day when they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Well, this is Zechariah chapter 13. On that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. That's God's purpose. To cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us of uncleanness, to cleanse us of that taint of sin. And this is what he says in Zechariah 13:7. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Remember the account of Jesus, right? They struck the shepherd and what happened to the disciples? They were scattered. Fulfillment of that prophecy. I believe that's actually happening today. The sheep are being scattered. Sheep are being scattered. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. This is the end times. That day, the day of the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, one-third shall be left alive. One-third. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Isn't that an amazing prophecy? The one-third that God has chosen for alive, being alive, I will put this third into the fire, refine them as one refines silver, test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name. I will answer them. I will say, these are my people. And they will say, the Lord is truly my God. And so, what is the mission of the church? What is the task that's been given to us? To proclaim this truth, to heal, and to cast out evil spirits. And the question always comes, in the midst of all this, where is the joy? Where is the joy? To say, well, God's just strengthening you spiritually, it sometimes doesn't provide much consolation, does it? Well, God's just working on you spiritually. He's you know, refining the dross, and sometimes it just doesn't work. So what do we do? So there's three things I came up with, I think. To keep the joy in the midst of whatever it is we're going through, the first thing I would say is to realize that it is for today, to take one day at a time. Remember, we heard about my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you today. How am I doing today? Am I worrying about tomorrow? Let it go. That's a command of the Lord. Do not worry about tomorrow. Where am I today? Where am I in my walk in the Lord today? That's the question, and that's the focus for each and every one of us, one day at a time. How am I doing today? A second thing I think is to keep in mind this understanding the Lord gives us in His Word is that there's a refining process that's going on. For those of us who are already believers, who already commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He's going to refine us as silver and as gold. Or another image that the Lord uses is the pruning of the bush, that we might bear more fruit. So what's happening to us emotionally, what's happening to us physically, in order to strengthen us spiritually? A refining process that's going on. And then thirdly, I would say, is to keep in mind in all these things that this is temporary. It's temporary. This too shall pass. Whatever it is, it's going to pass. As God gives us a sense of His presence and His peace within us, we can handle anything that this world gives us. And so that is our focus. That one day, we're going to be able to play 8 rounds of golf in 5 days and not get sore. We're going to be able to work in the garden all day and not have a sore back. We're going to be able to do whatever that we used to be able to do when we were a lot younger. We're going to be able to do that again when we get to that which Paul talked about, paradise. He said, it's so wonderful, I can't even put it into words, this paradise that's awaiting us. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what challenges we have, it's only temporary. Our true home is yet to await us. So I believe, as we commit to the Lord, healings do happen. The church is called upon to proclaim that healing. And yes, it's physical healings. It's also emotional healings, and it's also spiritual healings. So when I pray for those who wish to receive that, Jesus Christ heals you and protects you, that there's a healing that happens spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And so we receive that, and we give thanks for it. The third, that God has chosen to be saved, to be alive, will be refined, as in fire, as silver, as gold, to make us more like Jesus. That's the challenge ahead of us. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what am I saying to you? The kingdom of God is upon us because the King is with us, and the King is Jesus. And as we put our trust in Him and follow Him day by day, no matter what happens, we still have the joy of Jesus in our hearts. And so in that respect, the best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?
We don't know what the quantity of that is. We don't know. Many of us have areas in our lives that we want to feel areas that we want to strengthen, areas that things that we want to do for you, for your glory, Lord. We thank you that you are about the business of making our own possible, giving us, showing us your love. We just thank you for all that you do for us every day. We do cry out for it. All the lost people that we pray that we could reach more people with your amazing gospel, that we could proclaim it from the housetops, that we could heal sick, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and that many people will be saved.
Amen.